Since the attacks of 9/11, with the world's attention focused on the threat of Islamic terrorism and the conflict in Iraq, the old Cold War rivalry between Russia and the West has been largely overlooked. However, the brazen murder of former KGB officer Alexander Litvinenko in London in November of 2006, an incident that made headlines around the world, sent a clear signal that Russia is no longer willing to play second fiddle to the West and is newly resolved to exert its economic, political, and military power to advance its nationalistic agenda under Vladimir Putin. Award-winning journalist Alan Cowell sheds new light on the first ever case of state-sponsored nuclear terrorism, the shocking London murder of former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko, and on the renewal of Cold War hostilities between Russia and the West. I am honored to welcome to the program Alan Cowell, former London bureau chief for the New York Times. His new book is The Terminal Spy, a true story of espionage, betrayal, and murder. Alan, welcome to the program.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having me on here, Cord.
Absolutely. Let's start with the obvious. Who was Alexander Litvinenko?
Litvinenko started his career as a low-ranking military draftee in the internal forces in Russia, but he soon was adopted into the KGB. He went to the KGB training academy and became an officer in a unit that was responsible for reporting disloyalty among military personnel. This was in the Soviet era. When the Soviet Union collapsed and the KGB was dissolved, he transferred to the new successor organization, the FSB. And in that unit, he had a similar role until he joined another unit that was responsible for tracking down organized crime in Russia in the 90s, when organized crime was rampant. From then on, he interrogated prisoners in the Chechen War. But in the late 90s, after a career in which he seemed as loyal as any other officer to the FSB and the KGB before it, he reversed himself. He began to criticize openly the organization that he worked for. He accused it of ordering extrajudicial killings. He gave a celebrated news conference in 1998 at which he called for reforms of the FSB, and he called upon the newly appointed head of the FSB to carry out those reforms. Now, that head of the FSB at that time was Vladimir Putin, who went on, as we know, to become Russia's president for 2 4-year terms and is now Russia's prime minister. Once Litvinenko had marked himself as a whistleblower, as a maverick, a gadfly, he very soon fell foul of the authorities. He was imprisoned. When he was released from prison and the charges against him were dropped, he was immediately rearrested in the courtroom and sent back to prison. It looked as if a lifetime in prison and or worse awaited him, so he fled Russia in 2000. His initial hope was that he would be given asylum in the United States of America, but American diplomats and intelligence officials in Ankara, Turkey, so were told in the reporting of this book, The Terminal Spy, those officials gave him the thumbs down after in a remarkable flight from Russia through Georgia and Turkey. He ended up in London, where he was given political asylum. And indeed, he became eventually a British citizen, and he believed himself to be relatively safe in Britain because of his new nationality. But only weeks after he got his British passport, he was poisoned in a hotel bar in London, and 22 days later, he died an excruciating death. So that, in a nutshell, is a sort of, to mix my metaphors, is a thumbnail sketch of the life of Alexander Litvinenko. Of course, he was a much more complicated person than that might suggest.
My guest is Alan Cowell, award-winning foreign correspondent for the New York Times, author of several works of fiction and nonfiction. His new book is The Terminal Spy, about the first ever state-sponsored case of nuclear terrorism, the murder, assassination of former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko. And we have Eric on the line in Charlottesville. Eric, you are on with Alan Cowell. Go right ahead.
Yes, Alan. I'm so glad that this is finally being discussed in a meaningful way here. We're talking about a man that claimed not only that extrajudicial killings were happening, and of course he himself was killed in a similar manner, but also in his book Blowing Up Russia, he accused, and in my opinion with considerable evidence, Putin of staging terrorist acts in order to justify increasingly repressive measures in the former Soviet Union. And I wanted to know what Mr. Cowell thought about that, and I want to know, I mean, in Great Britain, they seem to be taking this a whole lot more seriously. I mean, we've heard no condemnation from the Bush administration about this at all. Of course, we have the famous quote from our president saying that he looked into his eyes and saw Putin's soul. I mean, this is just boggling to me. What is your take on that? I mean, do you take seriously the evidence that Mr. Litvinenko put in his book that was released in this country only after his death regarding the actual sponsoring of terrorist acts in order to justify the repressive measures that he has now put into place? He's all but reestablished a dictatorship in the Soviet Union.
Well, I come to this very much as a reporter, and I think a lot of events in Russia tend to draw a lot of polemical arguments, a lot of very emotional arguments. I think the evidence presented in the book Blowing Up Russia, relating to events in 1999, does highlight some very curious anomalies. I think you're very right in pointing that out. The book was initially published in 2002. It's been dismissed, of course, by the Russian authorities as meaningless, but I think an attempt to smuggle 5,000 copies in the Russian language into Russia was thwarted by the authorities, and the books were seized and destroyed. So if it was as meaningless as people in Russia like to say, I wonder why it was necessary to undertake such radical measures to silence this argument. Litvinenko, of course, was not the first person to mention these allegations against the FSB. The idea that officers should have been found stashing something that resembled or was thought to be hexogen underneath an apartment building seemed to suggest that this was more than the authorities claimed it to be, an exercise using sugar. So I think clearly these allegations can't simply be dismissed out of hand. But if you take them as a motive for killing Litvinenko, there I think I'm not quite so sure. I would say that there is a possibility in that case that once these allegations had been made, they'd been aired, they'd been largely forgotten, I think the Kremlin would have had no interest in reviving them through this killing.
Eric, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Eric, did you have a follow-up?
Real quick, yes. The investigative journalist Edward James Epstein has given some interviews recently and done some writing that just boggles my mind. He suggests that Litvinenko poisoned himself in some sort of nuclear smuggling ring. I wanted to get Mr. Cowell's take on that rather boggling assertion by a journalist that I used to respect, but based on what I've read, I can't understand how he possibly could have come up with this this belief.
I addressed this in The Terminal Spy in my book, this particular allegation, because the idea of smuggling polonium seems to me to be almost very difficult to understand for the simple reason that polonium is not a lot of use, as far as we know, in the kind of terrorist applications that people might have thought of, things like a dirty bomb or anything like that. The amounts involved are minuscule. It's extremely difficult to get hold of. It's not as if there are some rogue supplies of polonium that are simply out there that can be tapped by organized criminals, or it has to be authorized. It's made to order in Russia's closed nuclear cities. And this was the isotope that killed Alexander Litvinenko. The idea that he would be smuggling it for some reason begs the question, well, what would that reason be? And I think that investigators, Scotland Yard and the FBI, have had no answer, no satisfactory answer to that question. So I don't think that that holds water. Whether the idea that he poisoned himself is something that came out initially from one of the people who was present when he was poisoned, and I think that has been a strand in the narrative, and this narrative itself has been very complicated, woven with information and disinformation, and the challenge for me as the writer of a book has been to try and separate one from the other.
Eric, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Fantastic questions. Got a phone line open at 977-1070. We are honored to be talking with award-winning foreign correspondent for the New York Times, author Alan Cowell. His new book is The Terminal Spy, about the very first ever case of state-sponsored nuclear terrorism, the assassination of former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko, who was poisoned to death. So, Alan, tell us now, Britain has issued an extradition request from Russia for the man they believe is the prime suspect in this murder. And to my surprise, I didn't know this, but to my surprise, he's actually an elected member of parliament in Russia.
I think yes, and I think we have to stress right from the beginning that the man who's been accused by the British authorities, Andrei Lugovoy, a former KGB bodyguard who ran and still runs a private security company in Moscow, he has vehemently denied the accusation against him. And far from being seen in Russia as a merciless assassin, as he sometimes presented despite his denials, in the West, he is almost a national hero in Russia. He's seen as a man who stood up to a Western plot to besmirch Russia's good name, and he's been elected to the parliament, the Duma, and he runs his very successful business. He behaves with a great degree of self-confidence in his denials, and I think that as a suspect, he's a very interesting character. But the British authorities insist that this is the man they want extradited from Russia to face murder charges in London.
We're talking with Alan Cowell. The new book is The Terminal Spy, and we'll be giving away a free copy here in just a few minutes. So take us to that day, if you can, Alan, to November 1st of 2006, when Litvinenko is now living in England, former KGB spy, former FSB, and he goes to the Millennium Mayfair Hotel, which is near the American Embassy in London. Who was he going to meet? What was he going there for? Because wasn't that where he was poisoned?
That indeed was where he was poisoned. His intention in going there, as my reporting suggests, was that he planned to a meeting the following day with a British security company to discuss a new business idea. And his partners in that were Andrei Lugovoy, the man who denies killing him, and another Russian former military Red Army officer, Dmitry Kovtun. And those two men were in town on a mixture of business and pleasure, according to their account of events. There was a very big soccer game that evening between a London team and a Moscow team, and Andrei Lugovoy had arrived with his wife and children on a mixture of business and pleasure that the British authorities say was also a cover for assassination. As I said, Lugovoy does deny this, but when Litvinenko got to the Pine Bar at the Millennium Hotel to meet these two Russian partners or associates, he found there was a pot of tea on the table, and they knew, and I think his wife believed, and all his friends maintained that Litvinenko was an abstemious person. He didn't drink or smoke, but he did drink tea, and he drank some of the tea that was on the table. And within hours, he began to vomit. He was violently ill, and 22 days later, after enduring excruciating pain, he was dead.
And did he not say before he died, hey, this is an assassination, I've been murdered?
Before he died, he was co-authored a declaration accusing the Putin government of being behind his killing. That is true. That was read out the day after his death in London. It was read out just before the British authorities announced that the cause of death had been polonium-210, this very rare radioactive isotope that had been found in his body.
Was this? Is it believed that this was some kind of retribution on the part of Putin's supporters?
Well, this is probably the $64,000 or maybe the 64,000 ruble question. And the challenge of the book was to take all the different versions and work out the most plausible. Alexander Litvinenko went through his life making a lot of enemies. The people he'd worked with in the FSB in Russia in the 90s saw him as a traitor. The government saw him as a whistleblower. His activities in publishing the book, Blowing Up Russia, had brought very unwelcome attention from the authorities. He'd made wild allegations against Vladimir Putin personally. Even just days before he was poisoned, he stood up in a meeting of journalists at a club in London and denounced Putin in the earlier killing of a journalist, Anna Politkovskaya. So there were an awful lot of people who wanted, who would have had no objection to see him harmed. And the challenge for me was to sift through those versions and reach a conclusion. And I'll leave it to the reader of the book to determine whether I rose to that challenge.
Alan, last question I have to ask you is, based on all the research you've done and the understanding that you have that so many of us don't about what's really going on in Russia today, what can you tell us as Americans, what should we know and understand perhaps about what's happening in Putin's Russia? Americans don't really think or talk. Most of us don't think about Russia much anymore. Now, growing up in the 70s when I was a kid, boy, that's all we talked about was Russia's going to come get you. They're going to drop the bombs. Look out. Our attention has been diverted. What do we need to understand here in the West about what's happening in Russia?
I think there are two things to understand. One is that the Russia of the 90s is gone, and a new Russia has arisen, a very assertive, muscular Russia with enormous wealth from its natural resources, from gas and oil. And I think the other great lesson of all of this is that the West doesn't really have a handle on how to deal with Russia. It's as much in the dark about Russia as it was in the days of the Soviet Union, when Kremlinologists would sift through the photographs of Russian grandees at the May 1 military parade to see who was standing next to whom.
Right.
People are still mystified by who and where the real power lies. They assume it's with Vladimir Putin. They don't know if it's been transferred to his anointed successor.
It's amazing. It's a fascinating book and one we should all read. The Terminal Spy, A True Story of Espionage, Betrayal, and Murder, The First Act of Nuclear Terrorism and the New Cold War, by New York Times award-winning foreign correspondent Alan Cowell. Alan, it's been an honor to talk to you. It's a fantastic book.
Thank you, Corey.